listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds. It's time for more Suds.
Hello, everyone. Let's get comfortable. Welcome to another Sud segment where we believe that life is precious and shouldn't be wasted by bad beer. Those are words to live by. I'm one of your hosts, Good Old Gal Juliana, and joining me today at the table is Good Old Boy Kendall.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here.
Hi.
Hi.
Good old boy Carl. Hi.
Greetings.
Good old boy Sparky.
I'm not wearing pants.
Of course you're not. Good old boy Dave.
I took Sparky's pants.
Figures. Okay. Today's episode is a brewery takeover. Hop and Frog is an artisanal brewery in Akron, Ohio. They opened in 2006 and have won numerous awards, including a gold medal at the 2023 GABF, or Great American Beer Festivals, that for those of you that don't know the short version, for one of their beers that we have in the lineup today. But I'm not going to tell you which one. We'll just have to wait and see. So do you guys know anything about Hoppin' Frog? Have you Hoppin' Frogs before?
I've had them before, and I know that they make their labels and logos with MS Paint.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair. Fair. You know what? I have heard conversations about their logos on other beer podcasts, so it's great that we went there.
I just wanted to rip the Band-Aid off. Mm-hmm. It's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, it's a little funny.
It's distinctive, you know.
That's a word for it.
Yeah. Some would say old school.
Sure, yeah.
Now, I remember probably about 10, 12 years ago, first finding these on a trip to Ohio. And yeah, pretty quickly figured out they made a lot of good big barrel-aged beers.
They definitely lean heavy on the booze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Speaking of which, good old boy Sparky. Since you look like you're feeling froggy today, why don't you give us today's lineup?
You got it. All right. So first we'll be starting off with Smashing Honey Blonde. Then we'll be making a segue into Boris the Crusher Oatmeal Imperial Stout. And then we'll segue over to Froggy Claws. I can't with the spelling, guys. Swiss style celebration lager. Sounds like a dessert cake. Probably is.
You have to pretend that you're Swedish and say.
Then we'll move on to Plum Tuckered Out Double Decker Porter. Double Double Porter. Double Double. Right?
Double,
and then
double.
Five down to, we'll move to Den Haag English Style Imperial Old Ale. That was two A's. That was not an A with an umlaut. Just want to be clear about that.
Haag.
Cool. Perfect. And then if time permits, we may have a beer or two or
three.
Something.
Dear, yes. My family, I'm really sorry about that potential. Just want to get that out there. Disclaimer, makes
maybe
me legally covered in case of
man forcibly removed from dance.
Mm-hmm. Maybe recital. They won't notice. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? Well, thank you, Sparky. Okay, good old boy Carl, why don't you give us the Suds ratings for today?
All right, we're going to be discussing and rating these beers with these Suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds, as revolting as they are. Here are those ratings now. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but an Iron City beer.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Hey, He knows.
He represented your
better.
Side, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's the Pittsburgh side. That's gross.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It tastes like glue.
Yes.
Two. Was that a belch? Three. What a relief. Four. A body really should not make this sound. And five. Listen to that hang time. Give me another.
It's like he was born for this role.
Not my first rodeo.
That was perfect. Okay, let's get to the frogs. The first one that we're going to talk about is very benign in the scheme of things. It is the Smashing Honey Blonde, coming in at 5.2% ABV. Light and refreshing with a splash of honey to add some awesome flavor and fun. It's just simply smashing. And a recent GABF award winner.
Whoever makes their labels also writes their copy.
Yeah.
Okay. Old school.
Thoughts?
The floralness of the honey surprised me. In a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way. Yeah. I don't know what kind of honey it is, but.
If you like honey in a beer, this is a good beer for you.
I thought the honey was really pretty delicately applied.
Yeah, no, not.
It's just a lot of times you start talking about specialty ingredients in beer, they tend to just clobber you like a hammer.
Yeah.
I thought the honey was well placed and balanced.
Well, and sometimes if you use honey, it just dries the beer out and you don't get what you maybe thought you were going to get. But this one, I agree. I mean, I like honey beers and I think this is about right where you want it to be.
Yeah, no, this is impressive to me, and I could see why this won. It's, I don't know, blonde. I have a hard time with blonde beers because I'm usually like expecting more, and I get a lot less out of it, and then I feel like I'm just drinking water. But this
they are blonde, though. I mean, you shouldn't expect too much.
So this one, though, has a lot of flavor. Yeah, the honey has got like a nice floral component to it. Mm-hmm. It's a little like champagne-y at the end, mm-hmm. but I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
It's just very pleasant. I mean, it's not necessarily like a lawn-mowing, crushing, hot, like summer beer, but it's really pleasant considering the assault of things to come, you know?
Yeah, and to piggyback, I'm like, Carl was just saying, like, it is really well applied. I mean, it just kind of fits in like a glove there. It's not too much on your face.
And, to win medals, I think you have to send in beers that are over the top. Like, you got to think about this board of judges who are sampling beer after beer after beer after beer. And so in order for something to stand out and medal, it oftentimes needs to be almost an imperial version of what that style really ought to be. And I think the judges did a great job on this because this is a very well-balanced and delicate beer that you might not expect to medal at that level because it's got to compete with so many other things that judge has got to try.
It is soft and delicate, but one of the things I noticed is the carbonation of this really is what's making those flavors pop.
Yeah.
And you can browse. It's a really fine carbonation, but it kind of just makes the beer dance on your tongue. And it's just a beautiful soft beer.
Well said.
Yeah, considering like the honey that's in it that, you know, would kind of make the carbonation harder. Yeah, this is beautiful. And we are going to rate this. We're going to go five on it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wow. Go five.
Yeah, let's do it.
So pleasant. Like, yeah. Like, and honestly, for what we have to come, like in terms of the ABVs.
Thank you for not hurting us to begin with.
No, but it's nice to know that they can make something on the light side too.
I look around this room and I see nothing but untapped potential.
I would like to have no one ever use the term untapped on a program that I'm involved with.
Too soon.
Fair. Okay, so let's move on to what I think of when I think of Hopping Frog is the Boris, the Crusher. And there's many iterations of this out there, but this is kind of the original and the base product, if you will. Coming in at 9.4%, this is an Imperial Russian, it's an bodacious oatmeal Russian Imperial Stout that will crush you like no other. It's the granddaddy of all stout styles. deep, roasted, and full-bodied flavor. And the head on this was just
beautiful.
It's
beautiful,
right? So dark.
It seems contradictory to me in a way of a Russian Imperial Oatmeal Stout, though. I don't know, like, because they seem like those are two different avenues that stouts go down.
But I think that's where Hoppin' Frog really made a big leap. And they did something nobody else in the industry was doing, because Boris is special. And I think what makes Boris special is the oatmeal stout side of it. So it was unique, and it caught everybody's attention, and they made something really cool out of it.
That creamy mouth feel and the,
When you say roastiness, my God, I mean, this is like, you know, the perfect snapshot of all of the coffee, roasted-y, dark chocolate things you're looking for.
Without that burnt character, you know?
No, like there's not the sour. I think, any bitterness is kind of offset by the oatmeal piece, but.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's so roasty, it's almost nutty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is really kind of an interesting component, because a lot of times these, when they get real roasty, they can come across as astringent.
Yeah.
And I don't really get a lot of astringency out of it, but I definitely get like nuts, like almost like roasted peanut almost.
Yeah. And you know, and I think one of the really cool things is they've sold a lot of this, right? I mean, this is a very popular beer.
Oh, yeah.
They could maybe like go to from MS Paint to Photoshop or maybe pay somebody perhaps to make
once again
labels. Just a thought.
Well, and the thing is, they medal gold with this in 08 and 11. Like, so this has been a while since they've been brewing this, you know? And I mean, granted,
it's always solid.
I remember tasting it back then, and I can't really compare apple, you know, to see if it's apples and oranges, but it's really consistent. It tastes consistent and dialed in to me.
I wish I'd had this during that big snow that we had a bit ago. This would have been a good, you know, snowpocalypse beer.
It's one of my favorite Imperial Stouts, and I think it is the oatmeal that's doing it. It softens everything, mm-hmm. and it just makes it a really nice drinking beer. A lot of them can be harsh.
Yeah, they can. They can almost be too astringent in mm-hmm. the roastiness. I like the slickness. Like, it's just slick enough, if that makes any sense, and it's not too oily for me. It seems balanced and decent.
And it, like to your earlier point, like there's Boris the Crusher, then there's Boris the Candy Crusher, and like Doris the
Douche. Boris the Super Crusher. Doucher, yeah.
I don't know, like Kaoris the Quasher, quadruple, you know, then there's Taurus the Triple. Yeah, like they have everything, man. It's crazy.
That they do.
Boris was what started. Yeah, the whole thing.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute to finish this up.
And crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a Hoppin' Frog takeover. For those of you that don't know, Hoppin' Frog is a brewery from Akron, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And right before the break, we were talking about Boris the Crusher Oatmeal Imperial Stout. It's a 9.4% ABV beer. And I think we kind of pretty much said what we wanted to say about it. We mm-hmm. are going to rate this a 5. Yeah.
Dude.
All right. Now, Sparky, let's get into a little story time.
All right, guys. Well, something came across my desk, and I just want to make sure the world knows about it. Man arrested after naked dive into aquarium at Alabama Bass Pro Shop. George Owens, 42, was arrested after he allegedly stripped naked and jumped into a Bass Pro Shop aquarium.
Oh, I heard about this.
It's real?
Yes.
Alabama, man.
Kendall gets around a lot, so I mean, who knows?
A man was arrested and will be charged Friday after he dove naked into the aquarium at a Bass Pro Shop in Leeds, Alabama. Leeds Police Chief Paul Irwin said the incident happened shortly before the store closed. The 42-year-old man reportedly began acting erratically and intentionally drove a vehicle into a pole in the store parking lot. Oh. The chief said the man's family told police he suffers from mental illness. Oh, this is sad now.
Well, this took a turn.
After the crash, police said the suspect exited the vehicle, stripped off his clothes, and ran into the Bass Pro Shop. Once inside, the man jumped into the aquarium. George Owens, 42, was arrested Thursday night after he allegedly got naked and dove into the Bass Pro Shop aquarium. Irwin said officers were dispatched to the store to remove the man from the fish tank. The suspect was belligerent and refused to cooperate with officers' instructions to get out of the water. Two Leeds officers were seen attempting to talk to the man in a video recorded by a bystander reported to AL.com. As the officers walked up to the store stairs and approached the aquarium, the man exited the water, yelled something to the officers, and then dove back into the water, the report said. He was very erratic and was saying a lot of nasty things to the officers, Irwin told Fox News Digital. Owens faces an array of charges from disorderly conduct and public lewdness for his alleged behavior at a Bass Pro Shop. The man continued to shout at the officers before he climbed over the side of the aquarium and fell to the concrete. Jeez.
Ouch.
Naked injuries from a height? Good God.
Oh,
concrete, man. Is not
forgiving. And was apparently knocked out. Well, that ended predictably. The officers paced the man in handcuffs, and then he awoke and attempted to struggle. Irwin said he assaulted one of the officers with a kick. He could have just been practicing some dance moves. Lay off him.
That's fair.
The man was then covered by a blanket and escorted out of the store, according to AL.com. Irwin said that his officers attempted to place the suspect in the patrol car. The man kicked the vehicle door strongly and damaged the door frame.
Wow.
Good God. Okay,
this guy went hard the whole way.
He kind of went Hulk mode there. Shoppers view the aquarium display at Bass Pro Shops inside the there's no way to pronounce that word. Mills Mall in Swai, British Columbia. I guess more things happening there. That's a thing for them. The suspect was taken to a hospital for treatment and a mental health evaluation before he was booked into the St. Clair County Jail. Jail records show that George Owens said will face an array of charges, including public lewdness and two counts of criminal mischief, second-degree assault, resisting arrest, disorderly conflict, and hitting the pole and damaging the patrol car, and two counts of reckless endangerment for how he drove the vehicle. The sheriff said Owens is likely to be released on bond, and let's hope Mr. Owens gets the mental help that he needs.
Yes, poor guy. I think that's the main point of the story. Mental health is something that should be addressed.
My takeaway is it okay to swim in the Bass Pro Aquarium if you're wearing a swimsuit?
If you are and are not publicly insulting officers, you're probably straight.
Yeah.
You got this.
Well, I live next to one. I should try.
I think the rudeness was the part that,
right.
You know, I think that's what got him in trouble.
Be very polite.
Yeah.
And wear clothes.
And don't hit a pole.
Have you ever been to the pro shop in the pyramid in Memphis?
Yes.
No.
So, big Bass Pro Shop in a pyramid right on the Mississippi River in Memphis. Right. For those of you who are listening somewhere not near Memphis, there is a giant pyramid there with a Bass Pro Shop in it. And we were there for a beer festival a couple years ago. And there's a restaurant in the Bass Pro Shop that used to serve alcohol. I don't think they do anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Probably for that reason.
They had to stop because of the mischief that was happening. Because they've got you know, the big fish with the teeth, gars.
Yeah.
Right. They've got some gars that they've got a large female one that they call Mama Gar that lives in there. Okay. And they said this one guy came out, was drunk and disorderly.
Oh, no.
And punched the gar.
What?
In the water. It's a giant thing with huge teeth.
Yeah.
Punches it.
Oh, because that's a good thing.
Uh-huh. And then punched it again.
Oh,
and
because
it
once
bit his
enough.
Hand clean off.
Shut up.
I kind of like the ending.
I like that ending to that story.
Yeah, I like
that's FAFO.
I'm on Mama Gar's side on that.
Because I asked the staff person, I'm like, how many people, you know, what kind of crazy stuff? And he's like, you would not believe. And it's always adults. It's never kids.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
a kid fell in the water. No.
Probably
that's a good thing that story.
Men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just
drunken morons.
You know what's really crazy is I heard that there's a Bass Pro Shop in the Great Pyramid at Giza. So, yeah.
Tut, that's not funny.
Oh. I'm going to give you that one, buddy.
Wow. Yeah, that's an interesting story. But it sounds like he had frequented that. Because how do you, you know what I mean?
Actually, I am told that he did a radio show episode and drank multiple 14% ABV beers.
He was a little right loaded.
That. It actually wasn't a mental health episode. Okay. It got cleared up afterwards.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I mean, we're not too far away from our Bass Pro to
about 10
Brendel's
minutes.
Point.
Yeah. Yeah. All of us are going to Jason Kelsey it up in
Let's
here.
Get
yeah.
it.
Keep, all right, well,
keep your pants on, Sparky.
All right, we may be testing that theory, folks. Right. we'll keep you posted.
Well, let's get froggy.
Okay, moving on. let's get into something double-digity. we're going to go to the Froggy Claws Swiss-style celebration lager. It's not that bad.
No,
it's 14.1% ABV. Creamy Swiss-style celebration lager with a malty taste and aroma, low bitterness, reddish-brown color. Yep, that's what it
check,
is.
Check, check, check.
Yep. And it's the perfect beer to settle down from a cold winter snap.
It also is a great beer to remove your nose hairs because now I don't have any anymore. Just they're gone.
No, well, it's pretty clean, bounced.
It's
right?
true.
It's a nice
true.
Grooming aid.
They'll grow back in 3 days. That's the best part.
There you go.
Delightful.
What do you think, Kendall?
A lot of toffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big caramelly notes. It's a rich beer. It doesn't say anywhere in the description, but this has got to be a tribute to the Santa Claus, which was out of Austria for a while.
Yes.
I don't think they make that anymore, but that was a big beer that I remember when I was getting into craft beer, everybody was jonesing about that every time Christmas came around.
And this took bronze at 2021 GABF.
Good Lord.
And then won silver at the World Beer Cup in 22.
What do you think, Carl?
I thought it was great.
Oops.
Did you just drop that on the floor?
I did.
Uh-oh. Man down.
There was nothing in it, though.
Oh, well.
Oh.
It was on E.
I mean, I really like these kind of big beers. I'm more of a malt guy than I am necessarily a hop-forward guy.
Sure, girl. Same.
I don't know. I thought this... The well-earned accolades.
Yeah.
What did you think about the packaging?
So it's interesting. This one comes in little 8-ounce cans that like they look almost like a tomato paste, right? They're just sort of slightly larger than a tomato paste can, which is fascinating to me because somebody who, like in Tennessee, we can only brew up to 10.1 alcohol by volume before it's considered liquor. So without a distiller's permit, like I work at Black Abbey, so Black Abbey only makes beer up to 10.1 because we don't have a distiller's permit. And all of our big beers go into 16-ounce cans. We sell them in 16-ounce 4-packs, which I think is insane.
Yes.
Like, why would you not put the big beers in smaller cans?
Sure.
That is seemingly the way of the industry.
It is.
It's a good idea.
With the exception, apparently, of Hop and Frog that puts their huge beers in these, I'm just going to say, cute little 8-ounce cans.
Yeah.
I really like it. I think this is a great idea. Well, it's 8.45 ounces.
And that's as much as I want in one drinking if I'm going to finish
it. Yes. Well, this makes it so that you can drink it by yourself.
When you go to a lot of tap rooms, you know, when it's a really big beer, they'll generally give you an 8-ounce pour instead of 16 or something.
We draw the line in our tap room at 8. Anything over 8 gets, we call them short pours. Like you get a short pour. But I mean, when they come in large format, you're setting yourself up for a share, right?
Like you have to.
I got a 10% beer and a 16-ounce can.
That's really
a long nap.
Yeah. You just drink them right in the car. It's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Please note, do not drink these in the car.
Please.
Yes.
Unless it's a car parked in your front yard.
Even then, the keys better we'd be inside. I really like the idea of these tiny little cans. I think they look cool, but I also think it limits your distribution options because this is not going to be something you're going to find in a grocery store.
No,
certainly not in Tennessee, even in Ohio, where the laws are probably different, trying to put that on the shelf with things that are 12-ounce or 16-ounce or 19.2 it's a very different format. So I imagine that they struggle if they want grocery distro on something like this. Which they may not.
Maybe that's not just not their thing. I mean, and honestly, would you want to have this available at the grocery store?
Well, no, and you see that trend of all these smaller canned cocktails that, you know,
that's
I think that's what I initially thought of,
like the little RTDs,
yeah. RTDs for sure.
I mean, we're getting ready to add liquor by the drink in our tap room, and so we've been investigating what the availability is, right? And so one of the brands we're looking at is something called Cutwater, and these Cutwater canned cocktails, you know, they're 13-14%, but they come in 12-ounce cans. And so it's a challenge trying to think about who's going to buy this and what are we going to charge for it?
Yeah.
Because it's really two cocktails, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
12-ounce can, 2 6-ounce cocktails. So, you know, I mean, you don't want to charge somebody $20 for a 12-ounce can. That seems crazy. But at the same time, do you want to give somebody a 12-ounce can of basically 12 ounces of wine, right? 12 ounces of 14-15% something is a lot for one person to drink.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
Weird world that we live in. What a time to be alive.
It is, I know.
It is.
I looked up the label of the Sandwich Claus beer, and it is a tribute. It's not the same font, but it sure is close, and it's very much styled like the Sandwich Claus label. Yeah. So wonderful tribute.
Yeah, no, it really is. I mean, this is still available. So yay to that.
And I think they do a barrel aged version of this Froggy.
That would be
closely.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what do we want to rate?
This is gorgeous. Sorry, if I may for 2 seconds.
Please.
it's gorgeous. I mean, I wouldn't want to drink this in the summer, but
great winter beer.
Oh, it is. It is. And I wish we had this. Like,
I'm going to drink it when I'm mowing the yard next time.
Right? Yeah. Oh, whatever. What shall we rate this, guys?
Yeah.
5. Yeah, let's go 5.
That's so good.
In the double digits to 16.8% ABV. Yeah, let's clear our palates with some agua.
I love this speed round format. This is fun.
Nobody
will get hurt. We are going to go with the plum tuckered out double porter. Okay, an abundance of plum makes this powerhouse of a porter amazingly smooth and delicious. Aromas of raisins and dark fruit about, creating an immensely satisfying complexity and depth. A marathon of fermentation. When brewer's yeast pushes to this level of alcohol at 16.8%, it is plum tuckered out.
What about the liquidy part? Can you drink the liquidy part?
For those of you listening, I would just like to point out something that I saw Kendall do and describe it to you because I think it's valuable. When you're smelling beer, I saw Kendall sniff the back of his hand. And that's a great way to reset your olfactory.
Okay.
Because it's like, all right, I've been smelling beer. I've been smelling whatever. You smell the back of your hand, you're going to get whatever your natural oil, your kind of own scent,
your musk,
hand soap or whatever, but it resets your olfactory sense. So
unless you've had your hand.
I just like smelling myself.
I mean,
I've seen him do that outside of the beer
context. He does. And it's not always his hand either. Yeah.
It's like that Saturday Night Live sketch.
Great tip to reset your palate.
Mm-hmm. But Todd.
Depends on where your hand's been, though.
It's like, I don't know. When you start talking about styles that are not normally imperial, like porter.
Yeah.
You know, the origin of porter was about its another term I hate, drinkability, right? Like, it's a beer that you should be able to drink a couple of them and not get destroyed. To have a double or an imperial variant of that style kind of gives me a headache.
Because then they went stout porter,
made a more intense porter. It's called stout.
I mean, it is a big contradiction in terms, and this doesn't taste at all to me porterly.
No,
like Mm-mm. you
is
know,
that a word?
Well, there's that little bit of Tootsie Roll chocolatiness that Mike always talks about.
Okay, mm-hmm.
I like this.
I think you would like this.
Right, save him one. I mean, I can't. It's not flawed in any way. This is just my own.
No, it's just a lot, man. I mean, this is a lot.
It does not taste, which is scary and maybe a more commentary on me. It does not taste like 16%, which is Maybe a warning sign.
Yeah, I do too.
It's hard to find a porter in this, to kind of Carl's point. It's like, I'm like in a